Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
Yeah, Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and the notify bell next to it in order to make sure you're always getting your great Going In Raw content. What?
What's I love up? It when you say something and you don't know where you're going to go next.
Oh, man, that's basically just flying by the seat of my pants all day, every day. Larson Russell, available on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. How many people are watching right now? Let me check. 47 people watching right now.
Hi, everybody.
Enjoying. We're trying not to spoil stuff for each other because the SmackDown tapings are happening right now.
Right now.
Big events.
Superstar bio.
Superstar bio. Do we have audio?
We have audio.
All right, sounds good. So we're there. We're also available on the Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We got this new shirt. Look at this. Hey.
Why is it covering me up?
Hey. Hey, can we just do the rest of the episode like this?
Does that mean I can go home?
No, I still need you to talk. Just, no, I don't want to see you.
And but I you're
wanna,
still going to see me. I was sitting next to you.
And I want to promote this shirt. Hey. Hey, you're not me. How much do you think? I wonder if we can get Baron to wear this. Hey, get out of my shot! Get out of here! ProWrestlingTees.com/goinginraw. Hey, you're not me. Completely legally clear to sell the shirt. You could totally do
you
that.
You know, and this is in no way to disparage your art skills.
Sure.
We could easily say that it's not a wolf on there. That's a fox.
Yeah, it had sort of...
it's like a fox-wolf hybrid.
Yeah, it had like darker eyes around it too. It looked kind of like a raccoon at one point. And so I like took that away, and then I showed it to my stepkid, and she said that it looks like a wolf who's got a mental deficiency of some sort. She's like, it looks like a slow wolf. She used much cruder language because she's a teenager. So, you know, I'm trying to teach my kids better. Anyways, we're also available at, that's pretty much it. That's all the shout-outs, right?
Yeah.
One thing I didn't do.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday. Is the Patreons, the patrons. I always give shout outs to new patrons pledged. I just look at my email and see who's pledged money. Because pledging money, you know, it's a pretty big deal. Deontay Swanya, oh, I said that one. I am the stable. Do you remember me saying that one? Yeah, okay. The CV Gun 123, Lee Grant, Brock without the K Lesnar again. Why, you get two shout outs? Guys everywhere.
Maybe he just stops and starts.
Probably got mad at us one week and was like, screw these guys. And then he was like, oh, you know what? They're okay. Went back in. Jason King, the Unretrofied, Beanbag Benny. What a great name. Hody, Adam Luce, American Pull or Pie. I think it's American Pie. Lonnie Eaton, Disco Biscuits, Luke Robeson, Chase, Chris Christofferson.
Wow, really?
Not the real one. This is spelled with C's. Phenomenal Friendo, Andy Dunsmore, Idaho Strong Style, and Dr. Funkenstein all put in money on the Patreon. We really appreciate it. We have lots of great rewards there that you, too, can benefit from by going to our Patreon at patreon.com/goingStevenLarson. Going Steven Larson.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we've got a lot to talk about today with this whole Raw thing. We're on the road. We only got next week is the go home for Survivor Series.
Correct.
Right? So let's talk about Raw.
You sure you don't want to talk about what's happening on SmackDown right now?
Hey, you're not me. No, I don't want to talk about what's happening on SmackDown right now. We got 47 people in our chat who don't want us to talk about spoilers.
More than that now.
52 people don't want us to talk about SmackDown spoilers. We have a whole SmackDown episode. We go, hey, you know, we want to. We really want to. After this podcast is done, we can go straight into our SmackDown podcast.
Let's do this. Let's
just
do,
based
let's
off do, of let's what
do,
we read.
Let's try this. Maybe people are unaware that SmackDown was taped. Let's do SmackDown predictions.
And get them all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And then get like the SmackDown review up before it even airs here.
Yeah, people would think we're magicians, wizards.
Yeah. If everybody's
it's like, how can you bend space and time to do your bidding, Steven Larson?
Everybody is just really stupid, apparently. That's good. Anyways. Slow Wolf. New character for Bad Wrestling. Hey.
Well, I had an idea that we could create. Slow Wolf. We could create. That's good. That's probably better than the idea I had. It would be the Duke Lonnie Wolfman.
The Duke Lonnie Wolfman.
Because Baron, you get the Duke.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like Slow Wolf.
Yeah, that's better.
Hey, you're not me. Slow Wolf. That's great. Anyways, so let's talk about Raw. What happened in the beginning of Raw? Oh, Miz TV. Man, Miz cut a nasty... Speaking of, Miz cut a nasty promo on Baron Corbin.
Yeah, man.
Didn't drop the F-bomb like he did.
They've been engaging in some verbal warfare the last week.
Twitter beefs, man. It's all Twitter beefs.
Yeah.
They're all in their cars, cutting videos on each other. Baron Corbin looks like he has permanent cry face. Hey, you're going to call me daddy. Hey, you're going to say you're my daddy. Or something like that.
Strange.
And then Miz called out Baron Corbin for saying that. So he started saying, he was red-faced Miz, looking right into the camera, which is my favorite version of Miz.
Yeah, it seems like he's legit angry.
Yeah, I know. He's like, he keeps on saying that he's like the MVP of Raw. He kind of is these days.
He is the glue that keeps that show together right now.
Yeah. At the end of the day, so we have the Friendo Awards are coming up in like a month.
Yeah.
A month and a half or so. 2 months. Is he going to be...
Oh, about a month, actually.
He's going to win something, right? Miz going to win something?
He should be nominated for Wrestler of the Year. Not going in Raw Wrestler of the Year.
Right, real that's Trent. Trent has that locked up, right?
Yeah, he's leading the pack right now.
I think it's like him by a wide margin and then like Lars Sullivan.
Yeah.
And I can't really think of... I mean, I'm sure Baron's on
Trent's
there.
Way up there.
Baron might be on there.
Baron's looking for a repeat.
Well, he went through that punishment phase. He lost to Sin Cara like 3 times.
He's been losing a lot of hair this year, too.
Oh, man. And then Miz TV actually happened. Kurt Angle came down. He was the guest on Miz TV. They got really mad at each other. And so Kurt announced that Miz versus Braun was happening tonight. Was that for the IC title? That wasn't for the... That was for the IC title.
He didn't say the title was on the line, no.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So anyways, let me ask you something. That whole Survivor Series, we're going to do our predictions next week.
It's good thing we do them this week, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
We had to redo it like we did with TLC.
Okay, would you stop doing that?
What?
You're talking about your SmackDown stuff, right?
I didn't say anything about SmackDown.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just saying the changes, like there's title changes on
Raw last
night.
On Raw there
That's
was.
What I was talking about. Yeah. I'm not talking about anything of SmackDown.
Not saying anything
on the verge
about
SmackDown. Spoiling something.
I'm sorry. Look, I would not... I'll give you a $1 refund on Patreon if you're upset with me right now for not spoiling SmackDown, but almost. I'm just digging a deeper hole for myself.
Well, I mean, there's multiple titles.
Just stick with what's
happening
on Raw.
There's multiple titles on the line tonight on SmackDown, man.
Yeah, this is great. Great looking shirt. Anyways.
Hey, we're just trying to wrap our head around things, how things are going to shake out down the line.
Too much info, man.
There's a lot going on right now in the world of wrestling.
It's too much info.
It's a lot to keep track of. We're trying to wrap our heads around everything.
Oh, man.
Including...
I'm still laughing at Slow Wolf.
How the Raw tag titles changing hands are going to affect things at Survivor Series. Actually, I know exactly how it's going to change things at Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah. That's easier to predict.
Which I think is for the betterment of the card.
Oh, for sure. We called this also.
People get their Shield reunion
versus
a dream opponent. It works out. It's great.
It's the two biggest trios since the Freebirds. Give me a break.
Oh, it's the top stables in... at least a decade.
Yeah, it was two. a decade, because 2 decades ago.
At least in WWE, I'm not counting like Bullet Club.
Yeah. Next up, Elias dropped a promo. Actually, crap, this is the only thing I didn't see because Hulu cut it out.
Oh, my goodness.
Hulu cut this out. They cut out Elias versus Jason Jordan.
Bogus.
Here's the thing. Like, I had to load it up in my view because I have Hulu. I think I got Hulu because we went to Connecticut to the WWE archives.
Yeah.
And I needed to watch something. And so I just got Hulu. I needed to watch SmackDown. And then today I was like, man, I really need to watch the beginning of Raw. And I saw the actual match, the Elias versus Jason Jordan match. Tell me about the Elias promo.
So
he sung something and made fun of a city.
He did that at the end, but beforehand, you know, he had no guitar because the guitar was hanging up from the pole.
Sure. Yeah,
he said, every instrument he's ever touched has meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And so he said something like, you know, that's something very important to me that's on that pole up there.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, despite not having a guitar, I'm going to sing you a song a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ran down the city of Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
Was interrupted by Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
They had a match.
Yeah.
Decent enough.
Yes.
Elias was actually the one to get the guitar off the pole, but every time he tried to hit Jason Jordan with guitar, he could not make contact.
Yeah.
Eventually, Jason Jordan got guitar, and then with a running start, destroyed it over Elias's back.
Yes.
But it was flat on the back, so, you know, like the impact was dispersed across a wide area, not like Jason Jordan taking the full brunt of impact on his tricep and immediately getting a huge welt.
That was still my... Oh, and by the way, I cannot say enough great things about Booker T.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Staying within the anti-Jason Jordan sentiment, I think that's so fantastic.
Yeah.
Forcing, because I think he kind of did that. You know, Booker T's not supposed to be like a heel commentator. And Corey Graves, I think, is supposed to be.
Yeah.
But they have just, because of their natural chemistry, I think they've all just fallen back on their natural predilections.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it probably started with Corey Graves and Elias.
Yeah.
Because they had the role reverse there a little bit.
I mean, even Michael Cole is touting the musical skills of Elias Sampson.
Exactly. So anyways, Slow Wolf. So anyways, so this match was a decent match. Jason Jordan always gives good matches.
Oh yeah.
Our good friend Stefan Fenris, though, called it last night. Jason Jordan, they need to repackage him. I'm wondering after Survivor Series, we have a good question on Matt Chat coming up. We're going to film it today. You guys will see it on Friday. Talking about possible heel turn for Jason Jordan. And I think that would do him a world of good on a huge stage.
So is that the
like
position
Survivor
you're taking
Series.
For Matt Chat?
I can take either one, but I think it's the correct one. But that's the fun of Matt Chat. We get to argue things that we don't actually believe.
Yeah.
And then see if we can make convincing arguments.
Creative, convincing arguments.
Yeah, I like it. It's fun.
Next, after Jason Jordan picks up the win, we have Kurt Angle backstage. He is approached by The Bar, T-Bar.
Yeah.
And they want an opportunity to fight for the honor of Raw.
Yeah.
Because as of now, they're not involved in the Survivor Series in any way. And they try to manipulate or guilt Kurt Angle into giving him a match. And Kurt Angle just says, essentially, don't mess with me. Just ask.
Yeah, he said, man up.
Yeah.
And Sheamus, to his credit, did. He says, okay, look, fella. All right, look, fella. We want a match. I don't know. I can't do a Sheamus accent. He says, we want a match one last match for these tag championships. I like that our predictions went wrong before, too, when we said T-Bar was basically coming to an end two pay-per-views ago.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't actually happen?
No, they're still together.
Let me ask you something. When they asked for that match from Kurt Angle at that point, did you think, oh, this could be, like, they might actually get these back? Oh, wait a second. You probably already knew, huh?
I did already
know. Oh, yeah, I already knew, yeah.
Because I watched the West Coast feed.
So did I, so didn't even think about it. Yeah, I know, but it was also, no, but you didn't, it wasn't spoiled for you before the
Yeah,
show
it was.
Aired.
I'm saying, since I watched the West Coast feed, it was spoiled for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I'd watched the East Coast feed, I would have watched it live as it was happening. It wouldn't
have
been spoiled for me.
You wouldn't have.
I watched the West Coast feed, therefore.
Listen to me.
It was spoiled.
It wouldn't have been spoiled. It was spoiled for me, and I watched the East Coast feed.
Oh. Because weird for you.
They're in England.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Which is what we were talking about earlier with SmackDown. Why are we such a mess today? It's a SmackDown.
I have an excuse.
They're in the UK.
I have an excuse. I've been sick for months. What's yours?
They're in the UK.
Yes, our normal rhythm has been disrupted. That's what it is.
Because they're in the UK. Let's see here. Next up, we had Asuka versus Stacy Coates, who I think, if I read on Twitter correctly, goes by the name... Aleister Black gave her kind of a shout-out.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think she goes by the name... never mind. I'm not going to say because I don't know for sure. Anyways... It was a squash match.
Yes.
Asuka beat the crap out of her. The crowd started chanting, let's go, Jobber. Oh, Isla Dawn. That's right. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've heard the name.
Okay. She also received a WWE tryout, apparently.
Yep. I saw
that's
that too.
Cool. That's good. Asuka won with the Asuka lock. It was kind of like a combo. She did the sit down.
She did kind of like a full Nelson slam, but it was, you know, like double chicken wing.
Yeah.
Slam.
Into the Asuka lock.
Right to the Asuka lock.
Bada boom.
While Asuka was in the ring celebrating, on the Titantron appeared Alicia Fox, and she said, Asuka, you're on Team Raw.
She gave her best Southwest Airlines impersonation of a, what do you call that? The
flight attendant.
Flight attendant.
But she's the captain.
But she's the, look at me. I'm the captain. That's right. I like when you actually look at me when I say that.
You said look at me.
Yeah, I did it earlier and you didn't look at me though.
No.
So yeah, Asuka's on Team Raw. That solidifies
that
Team Raw.
That guarantees
Team Raw's
going forward. That's for us lock.
Because this is obviously Survivor Series. This is elimination, right?
Yes.
Asuka's not being eliminated. No. But that's dumb.
No, she's not being eliminated.
That's not going to happen. So
I actually foresee an instance where it's like she's last member of Team Raw potentially.
Against like four people.
Yeah, three people at least. Yeah. Yeah. And then wins it for Team Raw.
Because I think they're trying to get her back on track with these, you know, after the Emma stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to do it. That's a really good way to do it.
It absolutely is. Hopefully they don't mess it up.
Next up, Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews in an interview. They're discussing Samoa Joe.
Yeah, Titus was really upset with Samoa Joe.
Well, sure.
Based on what happened last week on Raw.
Yeah.
They're having a match after this interview.
Mm-hmm.
And it's serious Titus.
Oh, it's Aleister Black's girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was Velveteen Dream. That was a joke. I love Velveteen Dream. Can we just talk about that feud? Is that feud of the year right now for us?
There's a lot of really good contenders.
That's my vote for feud of the year.
Okay.
Oh man, it's so good.
There's
it's
so many good contenders.
Produced, let me ask you something. Has any other feud produced better gifts? There's only two really that I care about. It's one where he slithers up.
Oh, when Braun emerged from a pile of garbage.
Yeah, that was good too.
There's been plenty of good Braun gifts this year based
people
on a feud.
People are killing the gift game this
with
year.
With Roman Reigns. Although I guess the Braun one was not with Roman Reigns because that would be a contender for feud of the year.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
So that was his feud with Miz. So I'm sure there has been, though.
So anyway, we're talking about Samoa Joe. That, of course, led to a match between Titus O'Neil and Samoa Joe. But
the match never happened.
Before anything could actually happen, Titus O'Neil got jumped. Well, actually, first.
Joe tossed Apollo Crews
off the top
of the ramp.
Threw him away. You're done.
And then he put Titus in the Coquina clutch.
This next part was my favorite part of the entire show.
He goes down to the ring, drops a promo.
Yeah.
Another great Joe promo.
Another amazing Joe promo.
And pretty much challenges anybody in the back to come out and step up to Samoa Joe.
Which brought out Finn Balor, man of the hour. This was great because, an actual match happened.
And they gave it tons of time.
They gave it, this was a pay-per-view match.
Yeah, it was.
And I was totally fine with the count-out
finish.
Me
too, because that means we get more.
It was just violence and brutality. And in my mind, I was thinking to myself, man, nobody really can go over here. They need to protect both these guys for if this does after Survivor Series. Because at the conclusion of this brawl, they were counted out.
They're fighting on the ramp. They're pulled apart by refs and security.
Kurt Angle comes down.
Yeah.
Says... You and you are both on Team Raw.
I like this type of passion and fighting spirit.
Mm.
I want that on Team Raw.
And then Finn did exactly what they needed to do with Finn Balor because he doesn't show this enough. Everybody was cool and calm. And then he literally flew to Samoa Joe and attacked him again.
Yeah, off the top of the stage onto Joe.
Oh, it was great.
It was fantastic. It's been a long time since Balor showed that level of intensity.
And it just goes to show.
Welcome.
How much extended periods of violence can go so far. Like, you don't always need excessive storytelling, minimal. No, you need violence and action. That's what we want.
This story should write itself. It's pretty
much. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bring up their history in NXT so people can go back and delve into it if they want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they're unaware of it. But just have them put on really good matches and tell good stories in the ring. You don't need a bunch of promos.
There was more excitement in that. 5 minutes of brawling, ten minutes, whatever, I think probably 5 minutes of brawling than there was in the entire Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt feud.
Oh, yeah, easily.
We have a good question coming up later in the questions, and I'm just going to answer it now, and I'll give them credit when we get to it. The absence of Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt seems to have, in my mind, for my person, you know, my predilection here, made Raw more exciting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Bray's presence... As much as I love Bray as a character, he just kills the show these days. They let him talk way too much, and I swear to God, these days, it's only ever on the Titantron.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns comes out, and he looks like he's searching for his parked car, and he doesn't know where he put it.
Yeah.
And it just kills the show dead.
You know what I'm hoping, and I don't know if they're going to do this, but I really hope they do, is keep Bray off TV till the Rumble. Just keep him off. Find a way to repackage him slightly. Give him something more to work with, and then have him return at the Rumble.
Yeah.
With his new slightly altered gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying change things wholesale, but just find something a little different. to bring some excitement back to the character.
Do some very mysterious video packages, New Japan-esque video packages in advance.
Not the frenetic, hyperactive editing they always do with Bray.
Yeah.
Make it actually creepy.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, use shots that last longer than a second and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. None of that stuff.
None of that stuff. Yeah. Just something different, something to give the character a fresher edge.
Yeah.
Bring him back at the Rumble. People be excited.
Yeah, man. I dig it. It'd be cool. You know they're not going to do that.
No, none of that.
Yeah, no, none of that. Let's see here. Next up, we had Miz and the Miztourag backstage. I believe this is when, speaking of the Wyatts, Bo was trying to reassure Miz.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be okay. And Curtis Axel was freaked out.
No. But at the end, Curtis Axel said, we're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. let's see here. Next, we had Kurt Angle backstage. He was calling Daniel Bryan.
Leaving a voicemail.
Yeah, leaving a voicemail saying, hey, I'm just trying to reach you again. Sorry about what happened. Wasn't my idea. I want to reach out to you and make sure you're okay.
Jason Jordan comes into Kurt's office, and Kurt pretty much says, you know, I need someone I can trust on my team. Who can I trust more than my own son?
Mm-hmm.
Jason Jordan is on Team Raw Survivor Series. Replacing Roman Reigns, kind of.
Jason Jordan needs to go heel here.
Yeah, he should.
He needs to go heel. So I was talking about earlier about how Jason Jordan has the, our friend O'Fenris was talking about Jason Jordan's outfit and how he just needs to change it. And I said, you know, that I agree. He needs the thing first. He needs a thing first in order to necessitate the change. We saw it, I mean, most famously, I think, with John Cena, who wore outfits very similar to what Jason Jordan has on. Then he had that goofy Vanilla Ice thing where he was rapping. Then we got the Doctor of Thugonomics who comes out and raps. You need the thing. But he needs to find a thing.
Do you think the green grocer is the thing? Like someone's out there putting on a match that he doesn't think is good enough and starts throwing vegetables at him.
I mean, look, it's better than what he has now.
It is.
Probably for a mainstream audience, it's not the way you want to go if you want to excite you and I.
Yeah.
Steven Larson.
Oh, I find it endlessly hilarious.
Green grocer is definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
Could you see that on the biggest stage of them all? Main event WrestleMania, Green Grocer versus like a Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can.
Yeah.
Okay.
So imagine like whoever Brock fights at the Rumble and say it's another Brock stinker.
Yeah.
And then Jason Jordan comes out and starts pelting him with tomatoes. That's going to make Brock upset.
Well, here's the thing. He would joke about Brock's head turning red and he'd say, you're beat red because I'm going to beat you.
Yeah.
You know?
And then throw a tomato at him and that's just confusing.
Brock doesn't know what to make of that.
Like you're making all these
am I a tomato or a beet
references. I expect you to throw a beet at me. Yeah, this is a tomato.
I don't know what I am. And then Jason Jordan eats some spinach, Popeye style.
Uh-huh.
Cans. Have you ever had canned spinach before?
It's not very good.
I don't know because I've never had it. Even when Popeye ate it, it looked like diarrhea in a can.
Yeah.
But it had its own gravity physics. It would go like that. And then I was like, why is he popping a can of like flying diarrhea? That's disgusting.
Well, because it made him strong.
Yeah. Ew, it's gross, though.
Fresh spinach is delicious.
Oh, I love spinach. It's great.
Even and
it's
frozen spinach is okay.
Great for you.
It is.
It's a superfood.
It is.
You know, but, you know, get a bag of it, not a can of it.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Although a bag of it will go bad really quickly.
Yeah, it does, and it smells really bad once it goes bad.
That's why I like kale, because kale, it takes longer to go bad.
Kale, I don't think kale ever actually go bad. It's got a half-life of like 30 million years.
It smells bad, too, when it starts going bad.
Sasha Banks and Bayley gave an interview backstage. I like seeing these two just because they're allowed. It's kind of like the Charlotte Becky Lynch thing.
Yeah.
They could just be themselves. They're just friends.
And their chemistry is good together.
So I think I might have had, I don't know, Bama might have been bugging me here. The idea was there's two spots open on the team. Nia Jax and Alicia Fox, the captain. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
And then Asuka now.
And then Asuka. But then they're taking on Sasha Banks and Bayley. Was there a reason? Was like there a?
I think it was like a combine, a tryout.
Okay.
And so at the finish of this match, I'll just get right to that.
Yeah.
Alicia Fox taps out the bank statement.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much immediately after that, Alicia Fox gets on the mic and says, "Sasha, you're on Team Raw."
Mm-hmm.
But Bayley didn't make the cut, apparently. At least not yet.
Well, she didn't say. So I missed it. I bums me out. I want to go back and watch it again. But Alicia Fox was going kind of crazy. What did she say exactly? She said something like, I don't like you or I need you. What did she say? Do you remember?
Something along those lines.
Okay, all right.
Both those things.
She was like screaming at her, saying that I need you or something like that. I don't know. Maybe somebody can check and tell us. So Sasha Banks was in, but then you look at Bayley and she looks like she's bummed out. Sasha Banks probably, like, if she's a real friend, you know, if she said, if Alicia Fox said, Steve, I need you on my team, I'd say, well, you can have me, but Larson has to be there too. I can't do it without him backing
really
my play. Huh?
Would you really do that?
Yeah, because you know why? It means I get to, I know that you can cover me when I don't feel like working.
Oh.
Like sometimes you, like yesterday during the episode, you were talking a bunch and I was like, nice, I could just freaking sit this one out. So that's why I do it. Because, like, you cover for me.
Mm.
I work less. That's what life is, man. Trying to figure out how to make the most while doing the less, the least.
Doing a less.
Doing a less. Exactly. Oh, man. See, but that's the risk also, is that I'll have the guy next to me who's always criticizing everything I do. Every misstep I make, every word that I say that isn't properly pronunciated, you criticize. So I have that, too.
Yeah.
Plus.
You take the good with the... Oh, put that guy... Put it away. Put that. I'm fine. Okay. See how that goes for you tomorrow. Well, you don't know where it is. Anyways.
I play a mean guitar.
Play something. The Miz versus Braun Strowman was next.
Yeah. Braun was destroying the Miz. The Miz Taraj.
Everything.
Everybody.
Just everything.
It was great. Braun
Nothing
is the best.
This guy. Like, do you really think that he's going to have the Intercontinental Championship?
Yeah.
He can elevate the crap out of that belt.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
And that's saying something because the Miz is. Elevate the heck out of it.
Yeah, but putting it on a literal monster who, like, nobody can touch. Anyways, Kane interfered during this match. Or he showed up.
Yeah, yeah. They start brawling Kane and Braun, so the ref throws the match out.
Mm-hmm.
Braun hits Kane with a power slam.
Mm-hmm.
Kane just sits right back up.
Yeah.
Braun clotheslines him out of the ring, and for Kane, I guess, that was what he didn't want to mess with anymore.
Because mm-hmm.
he didn't really get involved anymore.
Right.
Miz Taraj going to attack Braun. Braun gives Miz a power slam, I believe.
Yeah.
Braun's best.
Yeah, Braun's the best. Miz is the best. These are two of the best.
It's all good stuff. You know, for a while we were talking about SmackDown, how they're managing to interweave various storylines.
Yeah, Raw's doing that really
well. Raw's doing a really good job of that now. Because there's two feuds. Braun's in two feuds right now.
Like, right? Like, did they seriously do a swap of writers?
I don't know.
I don't think they did.
Maybe Vince is more involved with SmackDown.
Yeah, that could be. Next up, we had a Dean and Seth interview. This is kind of typical. Dean was in character. Seth was just enjoying the moment.
Yeah.
Having a good time with it all.
Laid back Seth.
Oh, and then Renee Young. It was cute. They did their Shield thing, mm-hmm. and then they left, and Renee Young put her fist out.
Yeah, she really wants to be Shield.
She wants to be Roman.
Yeah.
Well, she figures everybody else is these days. Kurt Angle, yeah. Triple H.
Well, she's married to Dean Ambrose, too. So.
She's married to Dean. They probably do that at home.
Could be.
Yeah. After some loving, maybe, they do this. I'm just speculating. I don't have any proof. Enzo came out and talked for a good half hour.
Yeah, 12 minutes at least. It was long.
That was a very long promo.
I tuned out.
You know it's bad when, like, so this was at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And Lacey had just come home from work. And she sits down and Enzo's talking. She's like, oh, it's Enzo? She's like, I just know him from your promo. I'm like, yeah, or from your intro. And I'm like, yeah, he's a bad guy now. And then he's, like, talking and talking. And it's always bad when I get embarrassed for what I'm watching on TV, you know? Because I know, I understand that he's talking so much because they want that heel heat on him.
Yeah. But then...
At a certain point...
That only works for people in the audience. People at home can turn the channel.
Well, at a certain point, that's what I really, really wanted to do. I'm like, this is painful at this point. This is really bad. So anyways, at a certain point, Pete Dunne's music.
No, Kalisto comes out.
Oh, yeah. And then
Enzo thinks that Kalisto's going to get in his face or start a fight or something, but Kalisto just goes, grabs a chair, sits ringside, and then Pete Dunne's music hit. But then Kurt Angle comes out.
I think they goofed.
I think they did.
I think they goofed.
And then Kurt Angle introduces Pete Dunne, and it's kind of, it's face Pete Dunne.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
But he got a huge pop.
Oh, big pop, of course, because they're in England. That's where Pete Dunne is from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Enzo got some shots in, got a little bit of offense in, but for the most part, Pete Dunne dominated the match.
Oh, it was great. It was
beat him with a bitter end.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Have Pete Dunne on Raw all the time.
My only problem with it is that he didn't beat his ass a little bit more.
I know.
It wasn't as much of a squash as it should have been.
I know.
They should really have squashed. Now, it makes me sad. I'm pretty sure this is the only time we're going to see Pete Dunne on Raw.
Well, at least... For now.
For now, yeah.
In 2 years, we can reevaluate
that. Oh, I mean, that's way too long.
Oh, I agree.
2 months is too long. 2 weeks is too long.
He should be the one that takes the Intercontinental title off of, say, Braun Strowman.
I agree. That's not very likely.
No, but he should be on main. and he shouldn't be on 205 Live.
No.
Pete Dunne is a huge star.
Yeah.
Just in waiting.
He's got that title that, like, never, nothing ever happens with.
I know.
And it's, like, the prettiest title there is.
It's pretty nice.
It's a nice-looking title. Yeah. Telling you, man. Pete Dunne, Trent Seven.
Tyler Bate. He's good.
Tyler Bate. British Strong Style. That's where it's at.
It really is.
That's where the real wrestling
is,
man.
Just make an hour-long show about those three guys.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be wrestling. Mm-mm. Just like, hey, how about this? Go back in time. And I know you're gonna disagree with this. Go back in time, get Guy Ritchie circa 2000. And have him make a British Strong Style movie. Are you kidding me? It'd be great.
It'd be really shallow, though.
Just watch. Look, it doesn't need to be in-depth, man. It doesn't have to be freaking There Will Be Blood.
It should be some...
Doesn't have to be.
Interesting thematic material.
Sometimes you don't need that. But it's British Strong Style. All right, how about this? Is Alan Clark still alive?
Oh, I don't know.
That'd be a heavy movie. You watch any Alan Clark movies?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them.
Oh, man, heavy stuff.
I'm trying to think of some other British directors.
Who directed... there's tons of them.
Well, I know there are. Man. Just drawing a blank right now.
Who directed Angela's Ashes? Oh, pff, hey, here you go. Danny Boyle. Boom.
Oh, yeah, that's
Danny
good.
Boyle, British Strong Style.
I get aboard with that.
Oh, my. Are you kidding me?
That has some energy.
Whoa!
Energy.
You know what I might do?
Although I saw that Steve Jobs movie. Not a whole lot of energy in that movie.
Oh, I wouldn't want... I didn't even try to
it's
watch
not
that
bad.
Movie.
Yeah. I mean, Fassbender's really
Isn't
good.
That crazy, though? They get Sorkin and Danny Boyle in a movie together, and all they come up with is a Steve Jobs biopic.
Well, I think it's just... Well, the
Look,
material...
Man, don't get me wrong. I love my iPhone.
The material is interesting. It's just the way they frame the movie is kind of like three set pieces. Granted, it moves around. It goes places. It's not like it's all stuck in one room, but this is centered around three product launches.
Yeah.
So it feels very claustrophobic just in that respect.
You know, I love Aaron Sorkin, but I could care. Like, here's the thing. Social Network, really, really good movie.
Yeah.
In the end, I really don't care about it, though, because it's just about Facebook.
You know what I mean? It's procedural about Facebook, yeah.
Like, I know, like, I'd rather have something that comes from the imagination, not just, like, crap that happened. I don't really care about that, you know?
Yeah.
West Wing is good, though.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Do you ever finish watching...
I know West Wing is fictional.
The Newsroom?
No, man.
I got like two episodes in.
Me too. The best part, I think, was that first 15 minutes where he's going on a rant about America and how crap it is, you know? And even then, I'm like, oh my God, get off your soapbox.
Yeah,
that's
exactly what it is.
There's plenty of good in this country too, you know? Like, I'm as anti as anybody, but I'm like, I don't know. I have it pretty good and I live here.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Anyways.
Alexa Bliss. Had an interview next.
Alexa Bliss interview now.
And she said she was going to run circles around Natalia.
Yeah.
And Charlie said, well, Natalia, you know, like, oh, sorry, that you ran off during the siege
mm-hmm.
a couple weeks back. And Alexa Bliss really didn't have an answer for that.
Yeah, no. She should have said, yeah, I did. You see, it looked dangerous. I'm trying to save my physicalities for the ring.
Although her running off wasn't nearly as noticeable as Dana Brooke.
That was the best running off. Man, talk about a great meme. Great wrestling meme.
Yes. Announced last night that the entire United Kingdom tournament division will be on 205 Live.
Yeah.
Well, those who are under 205
Those
pounds.
Who run, because they're
Trent
no 7.
No Trent 7, no Wolfgang.
No Wolfgang.
Probably others. They had
Jordan Devlin. Mark Andrews.
Saxton Huxley, I think.
Look at my shirt.
Yeah.
Wearing my Pete Dunne market. You know what's going to be a big bummer is when they make Pete Dunne shut down his big cartel shop.
I know.
This kid has some merch
that
is off the flipping hook.
Yeah,
man.
He's got good merch. Whoever's designing his merch is top notch.
Oh, hire
that guy
to do something.
I love my Pete Dunne shirt, the one I have.
We should hire whoever it is, do some like another Patreon exclusive shirt.
Yeah.
We have to update that Patreon. We have to shut down the Patreon exclusive shirt, get a new one, so the people who already have it will be like, OG. That was OG.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or OP, original patron.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. 205 Live should be fun.
They also announced during the show, I can't remember if it was...
Is Jack Gallagher going to be on there?
Well, I mean, he's on 205 Live.
Is he going to be on Tuesday's episode? Because the regular 205 Livers aren't going to be there.
No, I heard there were the full roster wasn't going to be there, but there were some traveled with.
Like who?
I didn't get names. I saw that just a couple of them traveled with.
Oh, we didn't mention this. You know, here when Enzo... mentioned that he ran Neville out of town.
Oh, no.
Crowd was chanting for Neville. At first they were, and then I think it kicked up a little bit more, and then he said, yeah, I ran that guy out of town. True.
Kind of.
Yeah. Chris Jericho had some interesting things to say about Neville.
Yeah.
I was listening to a bit of a podcast he was on. I forget whose podcast it was. Maybe it was his. I don't know. But he was saying that Neville is really, really sort of, He's a very passionate guy, and he said in some ways, and this is not to be taken any way beyond, but he says he's got the kind of the mindset in terms of his work that he saw with Chris Benoit back in the day. Because that's what he said about Chris, or that's what he said about Chris Benoit, is that he was just a perfectionist. And he said he sees that same kind of thing in Neville. Jericho really tries to. He had a podcast about the Jericho or about the Benoit stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And he really did, you know, try to focus on the career. And I think he really does try to go out of his way to say, look, there was a career Chris Benoit, and then there was the everything else Chris Benoit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyways.
I don't remember if it was during this match or earlier in the show, but they announced that Roman Reigns is going to be back next week.
Darn it. Time to sleep.
Roman Reigns. So our main event for the night was Sheamus and Cesaro getting a shot at the tag titles against The Shield. They gave this match a lot of time. It was a lot of fun. The Shield came out on fire, had the early advantage.
Yeah.
A lot of good back and forth.
Yep.
There's a cool spot where Dean hits Dirty Deeds on Sheamus, and then Rollins hits Sheamus with Frog Splash, and then Dean covers. And Cesaro pretty much tackles Dean off of Sheamus.
Yeah.
The pinfall. It
was
great.
Rad. That was good.
And then towards the end, the New Day, their music hits.
Yeah.
And then they come down through the audience a little bit.
The world stops.
Drops a promo, and they insinuate that Under Siege Part 2 is about to begin.
Part 2 is about to happen. And so Kurt Angle, assuming we get Kurt Angle on his walkie-talkie, it's happening! It's happening! It's
security!
Happening.
Security!
Security! So we see Kurt Angle backstage rallying the troops. Didn't Braun show up? And he was like, Braun, you go there, or something like that. And Braun like took his. I'm like, why is Braun taking orders from anybody?
I know.
Like, why doesn't Braun just go where Braun wants to go?
Yeah, I know.
It was funny though to see
like
Kurt
Angle break through a wall, Kool-Aid Man style, to get to Team SmackDown.
Yeah.
He would do that regardless what Kurt Angle had to say.
Exactly. And so the Raw locker room empties out.
And they go out and kind of surround the ring.
The thing that I liked about it is that it was the entire locker room minus like Brock, because Brock wasn't there.
Yeah.
But Samoa Joe was out because he's on a team. Finn was out. So it wasn't just like your usual locker room of jobbers.
Yeah.
It was the entire contingent.
Top guys.
It was a big deal.
Yes.
So they all come out and surround the ring. Meanwhile, because I read the spoiler, I was looking at Sheamus, and Sheamus at one point starts sort of talking to the ref.
I saw that too.
And you get the insinuation that Sheamus is probably like, is this still happening? Is this match still going on? Because the New Day decided to hightail it. They take off, and right as they're taking off, Sheamus bro kicks the crap out of
Seth.
Well,
also, Kurt says to the Raw roster, gulp.
Right, chase him off.
Yeah. Go after the New Day. And in all the confusion, because both Dean and Seth are paying attention to what's going on, not the match at hand, because the ref never threw the match out. Seth kind of turns around, eats a brogue kick from Sheamus. Sheamus pins him.
Yep.
New tag champions.
Yeah.
So this, of course, now that Roman is cleared to return and is healthy, this gives us our Shield reunion in full.
Yep.
Against the New Day.
Which is great.
Yes.
This is all, you know, injury, sickness, what have you, sometimes just leads to better. Like when the predictable plans are thrown, you know, into chaos, you can get some really unpredictable, interesting things happen.
Yes.
And that's what happened here.
That seems to be happening a lot this week.
Yeah, I know. That's good. So, like you said, we're going to get Shield versus New Day, which is for the better, which is awesome. As much as
it improves the overall quality of the card.
On top of that, I mean, the Usos and Sheamus and Cesaro are kind of contemporaries on the shows that they're on. They're kind of both tweeners in a way. I mean, I know Usos more so than maybe Sheamus and Cesaro, but this is fantastic. I mean, you have both these teams in this moment. Why wouldn't you take advantage of it?
I know.
Doesn't matter who goes over. Shield's going to go over.
Yeah, Shield's going over.
But it doesn't matter. You need to have this. You need to have this.
Yeah.
You have to have this.
Yeah. It's fan service, but it's fan service that is warranted, because who knows if you get another opportunity to ever do this.
Wrestling really is, and I've said this before, wrestling is the kind of thing where you can get away with fan service a lot more than you can in any other medium that wants to take itself seriously. So anyways, that was Raw. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's a fun show.
Yeah. Next.
You want to answer some questions?
By the way. No kayfabe.
I kind of guessed.
No kayfabe.
I didn't see you work on it.
I'm just going to officially kill it today. If you want to do it next week, I just, I can't, I just, I, it doesn't, don't care about anymore.
That's a bummer.
I'm going to find some.
It was an institution.
I'm going to find something new. I'm going to find something new. Look, if the people revolt.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play wrestling
theme. Oh, son of a biscuit.
And then
that's
you
on.
Guess.
No, that's. Hey, that's for patrons alone tomorrow. Don't take that away from the patrons.
Also,
give that to everybody.
Monetizing might be kind of tough. I start playing songs.
Yeah, put that away. That's like me on the verge of saying F word. Oh, that's it. We're monetized. Way to go. You just cost me $1,000 by doing that.
We've never made that much on a video ever.
Are you sure?
Not each.
Okay, there you go. Good point.
I don't know if you made it total.
Anyways. I don't know. Look. Right here, J.S. Wooten says, Kayfabe Corner sucks b-hole. But he also uses all caps.
I appreciate the challenge of trying to come up with new stuff every time.
Yeah, it's just, well, look, man, here's the thing. We're our own bosses, so I'm just trying to eliminate anything that annoys me. And Kayfabe Corner to this point, well, I love trivia. Trivia's great.
Yeah,
that's
there's
so
no work
fun.
Involved, that's why.
Yeah, dude, what did I say earlier in the show? You're not paying attention.
Something about you not wanting to work
try
anymore.
Try to get the most out of life while doing the least. Hey, but I have some ambitious ideas for Matt Chat that I want to. I might take Matt Chat from you.
No.
No?
No.
It's taking some work off your plate, too.
What, you mean in terms of editing?
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll discuss it.
Well, no, I got some ideas for it.
Yeah, we'll discuss it.
They're all superficial. But it's fun. Keep it fun. And
okay.
you do Count Out and Matt Chat. That seems unfair.
Why?
Those are two shows that have a little bit of production to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have any show that really have production
okay.
to them. Besides maybe the intro to Non-News. And even that, I started to like dial down a little bit.
Oh, really?
I need more Gene Hackman.
I don't watch Non-News. So.
Yeah, I know. I don't watch Matt Chat or
I'm here when we shoot it. Why would I want to watch it?
Same with me. I'm just saying you have to do shows that there's a lot of production with.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's unfair. I should do more.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Well, I know you're never going to complain, though.
No, I don't.
Not to me, anyways. You probably whine behind my back.
No, I don't complain. I don't ever complain about my workload.
I think you probably do.
No.
All right, can we just answer some questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
On the Patreon. $1 a month gets you
Patrick
access.
Patrick
O'Leary access.
Is chomping at the bit to talk spoilers.
Access. No, Patrick.
CM Punk finds it insulting. Why does the criticism of guys being, quote, too small to beat certain wrestlers not exist for female wrestlers, for example? How come the same people arguing that Finn Balor is too small to beat Brock Lesnar never argued that is not believable for Sasha Banks to beat Charlotte?
I think with Sasha Banks and Charlotte, there wasn't an overwhelming disparity.
There's like about almost 100-pound weight difference between Finn and Brock, not to mention height.
Right, yeah. That's not it. Now, TGX points out here in a reply, Sasha Banks, Nia Jax is a bit more. I mean, if you look at Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, they play that up quite a bit. They play that up on TV quite a bit.
Yes.
Alexa Bliss always acts scared of Nia Jax.
Yes, and more often than not, and this isn't universal, when Nia loses, it's because multiple people beat her.
Yeah.
Like all the multi-women matches they've had at various pay-per-views, it takes more than one person to beat her. Not to say, I mean, she's lost, granted, cleanly to one person before.
Yeah.
But it happens far less than I think it does when she loses to multiple people. But I mean, that's the nature of having, you know, that type of character, that type, you know, like Braun Strowman. You know, he's the monster among men, not just because he beats everybody up, it's because he's humongous.
Yeah.
He's larger and faster than a lot of wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a spot for wrestlers like that on the roster.
For sure.
But for the most part, there's not that huge of a size disparity between competitors in the women's division.
Yeah, right. James the Highland Scott, who is better overall, Alexa Bliss or Sasha Banks?
Alexa's better in the mic. Sasha's better in the ring.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Overall,
I would give it to Sasha Banks.
Yeah, I would too.
I think the disparity in the ring
is far greater than
bigger
the disparity
deal.
On the mic. Yeah.
Yeah.
James Rodriguez, sorry, will we get the New Day versus Shield at Survivor Series? If so, is it worth sacrificing the tag titles, or is this the best case scenario since we get a pair of great tag matches? It's the latter. We're going to get two awesome matches instead of just one awesome match. And Sheamus and Cesaro are not that large of a step down from the Shield in terms of competitors for the Usos.
Well, I think there's more parity there. I actually... Here's the thing. When it was Usos versus Shield, I knew who was going to win
that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure who's going to win.
Yeah, the Usos could win that.
You know?
Yeah. Mighty Quinn, with Elias's guitar being broken, do you think each week he should start playing a new instrument when addressing the crowd? Which instrument should he play?
It's either, for me, it's, look, it's either guitar or it's tambourine or nothing else.
You don't want to bust out a banjo or a mandolin?
Oh, well, I mean,
a harpsichord?
Yeah, banjo maybe.
I mean, obviously you can't do any, like, a woodwind or a brass instrument because he wouldn't be able to sing while playing.
Right, right.
So no kazoo.
I mean, banjo, he's more like he's a subway dweller.
Yeah.
He's not like a guy on a banjo outside of a log cabin, isn't he?
No, he's not like a bluegrass musician.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't say that fits him. Tambourine, I think, does. I can see him with a tambourine.
I mean, tambourine just keeps rhythm.
Right, really exactly. Good. Which would annoy the crap out of any crowd.
This plays bass.
The bass is too cool for him.
Stand-up bass.
That's too fancy for him. That'd
be cool.
Nicholas Grosskirk.
It'd be a pain to lug that giant thing around, though. What if he comes out with some drums, some Congo drums?
There you go. I can see that.
Yeah. Or Congo drums, sorry.
What if he came out, you know what he should do, is do one of those ridiculous contraptions where he got everything.
The one-man band.
Yeah, the one-man band.
Yeah.
Nicholas Grosskirk. Does Ambrose and Rollins losing tonight increase or decrease AJ's chance on SmackDown? No comment. There are spoilers out in the world already.
CM Punk finds insulting again. Since Chris Jericho defected New Japan to wrestle Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 12, who should defect to WWE to wrestle at WrestleMania, and who should be their opponent? So who from New Japan come to WWE to wrestle at WrestleMania?
Oh, how about this?
Chase Owens.
Well, Kenny Omega. He fights Jericho, comes to WWE, and they have round two.
That'd be cool. That'd be something else.
I know. Richard Nixon. Oh, hello, friendos. I recently met Danny Burch at Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando. Really friendly guy with a nice, firm handshake.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I have to ask you guys to power rank, power rank, which superstars you think have the nicest, firmest handshake. Well, I have shook William Regal's hand before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give him number one.
Really?
He's the only guy I'm aware of that I've actually...
I think we shook AJ's hand.
Yeah, probably.
He had a good firm handshake.
Number two, AJ Styles.
I imagine Braun Strowman has a really firm handshake.
And probably a friendly one, too.
Large hands.
I think he's aware that he could easily crush your hand.
Brock Lesnar?
No. He probably hurts you.
Yeah.
He's probably like, I'm going to alpha immediately.
I'm trying to think of someone that would probably has a surprising...
Kurt Angle
has
to have the friendliest, firmest handshake. Yes. Yeah. He probably knows the exact pressure a certain body size can handle.
Yeah, but also the amount of time you actually shake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't overstay your welcome.
Right, exactly, yeah. Gets a little weird. Yeah. Kind eyes, probably, he has.
Yes. Yeah. Alex Foster, even though I spoiled there was going to be a title change, I still enjoyed the shows.
This is for Raw.
For Raw. Can you guys think of a time for you got spoiled for something, but still liked it? Oh, and Foley won the belt.
When WWE bought WCW.
Yeah.
That was spoiled for us? Yeah. That was one of those situations where it was like, oh my God, this is going to happen. That's insane. And it didn't lessen any of the insanity when we actually watched it.
Mr. Sinister, do you guys think they should have continued the Shield gimmick since Roman was gone for the past 3 weeks, or drop it and then continue it when he returns next week? That's exactly what's going to happen. The Shield, they said the Shield would be back totally reunified next week.
Darn it. Darn it.
They're giving people their Shield reunion match.
Wayne Dorsey, why is Pete Dunne struggling in any way to beat Enzo? Look, I love him as much or more than the next guy. They can't make Enzo a complete and total joke with the title.
Yeah, I know.
He has the title. He has to put up some sort of
although
defense.
Someone's got to teach him how to do that one submission move he tries to do it cleanly.
I know, man.
He struggles with it. Woken Minato, is there any way possible for the New Day Shield feud to last all the way into Mania while they're in separate brands? No, unfortunately. Because Roman Reigns has another match already kind of scheduled for Mania. He's going to be busy.
Darn it. Darn it.
I have plans.
I have plans. TGX. It occurred to me that with the Christmas Raw being live this year, Jeff Hardy being out with injury is the only member of the roster who gets to spend Christmas Day with his family, making his injury a blessing in disguise in a small way. Which brings me to my question. What do you think was the most beneficial injury a wrestler has ever sustained, and why? I mean, you have to turn a negative into a positive.
CM Punk finds insulting, brings up Triple H. That's the first one that popped in my mind.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
we tore his quad.
That was huge. I mean, you can look at Roman Reigns right now. Well, I don't know if it's going to be beneficial to him, though, but it's been beneficial
for
us.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say Daniel Bryan, because it sucks he had to retire. Yeah. It really sucked. And it sucked for him. You could tell it sucked for him. But when his contract is up, the world will be his oyster.
Yeah.
And he can go to the coolest wrestling promotion in the world, New Japan, and make a huge splash.
Would have been that way anyways, though.
Oh, I know. But if he'd been able to wrestle for WWE this whole time, I think he'd probably been more inclined to re-sign with them.
Probably right. Yeah.
As opposed to saying, well, I know I can't wrestle here.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it all depends on how it was run over these 3 years.
Yeah, whether he had the opportunities that he wanted. No, I agree.
Yeah.
But while it's a bummer that we didn't really get to see him take off after his title victory at WrestleMania 31, he's going to have a lot of opportunities if he chooses to wrestle again. And he's going to make a huge splash.
If he does 2 years doing New Japan and Ring of Honor, you know, on a light-ish schedule.
Concussion-free?
Yeah, I wonder if WWE would be like, okay, well, for the Big Four, put him on a Big Four.
I would say maybe one match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't think they want that liability.
Oh, well, if he's not touring, if it's for one match, you're not going to die from one match.
Well, if that's the case, why not just do it now? Without having to wait
Because right now they would look like massive hypocrites.
Well, they're going to look like hypocrites regardless.
There might be some legalities we don't know of.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it's completely a liability issue.
Yeah.
Tommy T, hey friend, my favorite wrestler in WWE is Randy Orton. A criticism of him is that I hear often is he plays it way too safe and boring as a face. I understand and sometimes agree. My question is for both of you to respectively pick your second favorite wrestler in WWE and just talk about some criticisms you hear about them that you understand and think are kind of valid. Nightcrawler.
Yeah, the Nightcrawer has a response to this. He says, I like Kevin Owens with the fact that he does look out of shape as a valid criticism. Yeah, but here's the thing about that. Kevin Owens would look weird if he didn't have
the tummy.
The extra girth.
Yeah.
You know, it just look weird.
It works for him.
It works
for him. It doesn't hold him back as a wrestler at all.
Right.
He's doing frog splashes and stuff.
So. I'd have to say this. I'm not going to say that he's my second favorite wrestler, but I love Bray Wyatt, but good Lord, I am bored of him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, every criticism regarding how they deal with his character and his promos is completely valid.
Yeah.
They're largely nonsensical.
Yeah.
Lead to nothing. Again, I don't know if this person is my second favorite wrestler, but Seth Rollins, I think some of the criticism, especially with him as a face, more so prior to the Shield run, where he doesn't always seem to be engaged.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Because apart from when with NXT San Antonio, when he was hurt and came out. He was hurt for that promo. Everything between that and Mania was good.
Yeah.
But everything before was kind of hit or miss.
Yeah. The knock on Sasha Banks' natural charisma, her look, her wrestling skills, it all covers up for the fact that she's not a good promo. She really is not. And that bums me out, but it's valid.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I'll say all those.
Flame spitter. With Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt still gone.
Oh,
this is the one about Reigns and Wyatt being gone.
Oh, yeah, that's some flame spitter saying, has Raw, in your opinions, gotten better in their absence, worse, or has their absence not made much difference? I'm going to say, I'll be honest, man, I get bored when Bray's on the TV, and I get bored when Roman Reigns on the TV. And the thing is, here's the thing. This isn't me crapping on Roman Reigns. It's not necessarily him, because that hasn't always been the case. When he was feuding with Braun, I was totally into it.
Yeah, it was a good feud.
You know, that was
maybe a really good feud of the year.
Might be feud of the year. Oh, I love this question, Jack Dolan. Jack Dolan is like a factory of good questions. Make up a kayfabe reason why there is no more pyro. There's another good kayfabe question here. A kayfabe reason is no more pyro.
Okay.
Okay.
So Vince, on the road one night, has a hard time getting to sleep.
Okay.
So it's like 3 in the morning. He gets to sleep. Finally gets to sleep. Sleeps for maybe an hour and a half. Has a horrible nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Flashing back to when The Undertaker almost got lit on fire because of a pyro mishap.
Okay.
And he wakes up immediately and says, I can't have that happen to Roman Reigns. We must stop using pyro right now.
Yeah. Well, the problem with this is that Vince doesn't sleep.
Well, he's got to sleep. He sleeps a couple hours.
Oh, does he? Okay. Yeah. So just during that time. Okay. Got it. That's good. I like that. I was going to, how about this one? I like this one. Vince, as we know, if he's there, he's always at Gorilla.
Yes.
Okay. He's always going to be right there. Now at Gorilla, you know, you're there, you know exactly when the pyro is going to go off. It's, you know, it's, you know, when it's going to happen, you're prepared for it. Right. Well, these days he's not always either there. Maybe for the first time when he was there, he wasn't at Gorilla. He's like, hey, Jerry, they're in Dallas for WrestleMania, something like that. No, it was more recent.
He would have been there, yeah.
For, yeah, for okay. Sure, for that, so yeah. more recent, whatever the pay-per-view was before they got rid of pyro.
Okay.
Right? The owner of the stadium is in an owner's box. He goes over to the owner's box, which is like right next to like the entrance ramp, right? And he goes over there, and he's about to say hi to the guy, and then Brock Lesnar, right?
Yeah.
Or like the pre-show happens. Vince loses his train of thought, which is maybe the most terrifying thing that could ever happen to a person like Vince McMahon, is not always being 110% on your game
in
mentally.
In control.
In control. And he says, what the hell was that? That was pyro, Vince. What? What? It's fireworks and stuff. Get rid of it. You're fired.
Oh, wow. It fires him, too.
Yeah. He fired fireworks.
James the Freak Phillips, what do you think is going to be WWE's ultimate approach to Asuka versus the main women's roster?
Well, right now,
she's going to beat them all.
Yeah, she's going to beat them all.
Ben Kirkwood actually asked this question, similar question for Matt Chat, so let's save it for that.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. The Madcap Mr. Lipkin, Chris Jericho's best talent may be, this is a great question.
Yes.
Maybe his ability to repeatedly reinvent himself and get over every time. He's clearly brilliant, but do you think he'd be able to extend that gift, the gift of Jericho, to others, say if he were hypothetically in the Dusty Rhodes position in NXT, or does he just have it? What a great question. I love to think that Chris Jericho, especially listening to some of his podcasts, would be the perfect person one day when if it's something he was interested in to train wrestlers.
I think if I could pick anybody that's either active or semi-active right now to start working either Performance Center or some other comparable establishment,
yeah,
it'd probably be him for character.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan for wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, combine those two guys to be the primary instructors.
Yeah,
I mean, even just watching that little bit on the Total Bellas where Daniel was breaking down to Sami Zayn how if you were to have a match against Brock Lesnar, how he would do it. I don't know how serious he was,
right?
But man, the amount of thought he put into
it—I
know—was incredible.
I know. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. The original Caffeinator. Given the current disconnect between what WWE fans want and what WWE wants to present, do you think the Taboo Tuesday Cyber Sunday model will ever come back? And if it did, would fans ever trust the voting results WWE would present? I don't know that fans ever 100% trusted the results.
Did,
and WWE's on top of that, like WWE's always really good at like putting offering up suggestions that were really obvious which way fans were going to go.
Yes.
Although I'm sure there's some good behind the scenes stories.
Oh, I'm sure there is
that
stuff. Ollie Redding. Hi, friendos. First time listener. First time question answer. Oh, sorry. Long time listener. Sorry. I was at the Raw taping last night, and whilst there were some good pops, New Day, Finn, and Pete Dunne, there was the opposite for Jason Jordan being named to the Raw team, as it seemed fairly obvious no one wants him in the team. Power rank things that could happen that mean Jordan will not be on that team come Survivor Series. That's only 1 week.
Yeah.
Meningitis.
Yeah, meningitis, yeah. Blows out his knee.
Yeah.
You know. Slips on a banana peel.
Oh, yeah.
He is Green Grocer.
Yeah.
There you go.
He does throw that tomato at Brock, and Brock gets upset.
Mm-hmm.
And beats him up real good.
Kurt Angle finds out, I am not your father.
Yeah.
They bring special Raw guest host Maury Povich in, because
I
think he exclusively does DNA testing on his
show.
Seems
that way.
Yeah. You are not the father, Kurt Angle. Whoa.
Well, I don't think they do the DNA testing. They just read the results.
Well, now you're freaking off the squad.
Yeah.
You know, I thought you were my son. I thought you had Angle blood in you. Now you're just some chump who's a decent wrestler.
He's a really good wrestler.
I'm not. Here's a question from I'm not Baron Corbin. Look at our shirt. Pro Wrestling Tees going in Raw. Hey, hey. His question is this. And this is fascinating. I didn't know this. The last time a WrestleMania main event featured two people who had never main evented a WrestleMania before was WrestleMania 19, Lesnar versus Angle.
Almost 15 WrestleManias ago.
If the WWE were going to run a WrestleMania main event in the next two or three years featuring two first-time main eventers, who could you see it being?
Styles and Nakamura.
That's probably number one. I would actually say Ronda Rousey and Charlotte.
Yeah, that's a good answer too.
Yeah, because if they bring Ronda Rousey in, that has to be a main event, right?
If it's a solo match, yeah. If it's the Horseman versus Horseman, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. Dylan Haggett. Do you guys think Seth and Dean lost the Raw tag title so they can team up with Roman and face the New Day at Survivor Series?
100%.
Yes. And another kayfabe question from Mike Big Dog Demopoulos. Explaining kayfabe, how the production guy that played New Day's entrance music, Titantron, and handed them live mics doesn't get fired.
Bootios. They said, what's it going to take for you to do this? And he says he wants a case of Bootios.
Mm.
Deal.
Yeah, but he's going to get fired. That doesn't keep him from getting fired.
It'll keep him fed.
It'll keep him fed.
Yeah, case of Bootios.
All right. How about this? Kofi's been around for a long time. I think he knows how to do the production stuff.
But would he have time to go over there and hit the button to fire up the Titantron music and then make his way all the way around the arena for his cue?
It's got the Elgato Stream Deck.
Oh.
The Elgato Stream Deck does the trick. Look at this. Just, hey, 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 hey. Absolutely. Any more questions here?
No.
No more questions? No kayfabe corner.
Bummer, man.
I killed it. I'm going to come up with something new.
I always feel like we should do one more.
Stop hanging on to the past.
Awesome one.
So don't be sentimental about it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, you put one together next week.
I'm going to do a best of.
Okay, how about this?
I'm going to go through all the other lists I did and pick out the best names.
How about this? Next week, we do something where we each come up with a list. Winner takes all. Winner is king of kayfabe corner. In totale.
Whatever.
You come up with one. I come up with one. Whoever wins, I will have to figure it out. Next week, the finale of Kayfabe Corner.
All right. Head to head, you want.
Head to head.
All right.
Yeah.
It's been such an institution, the show. If we're going to get rid of it, it deserves a proper send-off. That's all I'm saying. We should discuss this before you just get it.
Stop being sentimental.
Unilaterally.
Don't be sentimental.
All right, fine.
Is that good?
I'm going to play this off.
No, you're not going to play it. Stop that. We're already got music going. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.